Bruiser jerked his strong chin back as his eyes went round. What? You cooked for me?
I did.
And it was at that moment the smell of smoke hit her nostrils, and apparently Bruiser's too, because he inhaled deeply and shot a worried look at his trailer. Oh, no! DM wiggled out of his arms and sprinted for the porch. Inside, spaghetti-flavored smoke billowed from the skillet on the stove, and she yelped in panic as she pulled it onto a cool coil and rushed to turn off the knob. No, she groaned as she lifted the edge of the clumped pasta with a spoon. It was completely charred on the bottom. Bruiser wrapped his arms around her waist and pressed his lips against her shoulder. His body shook with laughter, and she rounded on him. It's not funny. I have this all planned out. I was going to impress you with my cooking. I wanted to prove to you I'm not just some spoiled rich girl who can't do anything domestic. The meal looked perfect before I went outside. You were supposed to be proud of me. For once I was going to make someone proud. Her voice hitched as she fought the sob that clawed its way up the back of her throat. And now dinner is ruined. Bruiser was doing an awful job of hiding his obnoxious grin behind pursed lips. Damn, I don't expect for you to cook for me, woman. But this, he said, gesturing to the kitchen, is so damn cute. And so damn sweet. And if you ignore the smoke, it smells fucking divine. Dinner is perfect. It's inedible, she groused, crossing her arms over her chest. Look, Bruiser scooped the top layer of pasta out of the pot and plopped it into a serving bowl. Perfect. And the green beans and garlic bread looked like they cooked up just right. Come here.
I failed.
Bruiser canted his head. Even if you burned all the food, I'd still eat it. You didn't fail. This looks delicious.
You're teasing me.
I'm not. I'm starving. Can't wait to eat with you. He approached slowly and gripped her waist, then dragged her against him. My mate, this is perfect. More than I ever expected. He leaned down and sipped at her lips until she melted the rest of the way against his taut chest. It was really hard to stay mad at herself when Bruiser was so forgiving. But then again, perhaps this was how it was supposed to be. Maybe she'd been treated too harshly by the people who had raised her, who made her feel like she was never good enough. Between father and the nanny he'd hired to bring her up, she'd been scolded often and given praise seldom. Bruiser wasn't like that, though, and she was going to have to learn to get over her insecurities. He deserved the best of her. Burned pasta, giggles, and all.
I don't know about you, but I prefer my food burnt.
DM wrapped her arms around his waist and squeezed him tight. A thank you for being so sweet with her mistake.
I'm actually surprised you don't just eat ashes, you little fire breather.
I'm not a fire breather, but I do like my steak well done.
Oh, now that's just wrong. Just pass my cow by the fire, and I'm ready to eat.
Gross, she said, biting his peck gently. Go clean up, and I'll get our charred dinner on the table.
Yes, ma'am, he murmured,
then kissed her right on the hairline and headed for the bedroom. She watched him saunter away until he ducked under the doorframe, because dang, that man could fill out a pair of old, faded, holy work jeans. A dirt-smeared white shirt clung to his defined back, as if he'd entered a wet T-shirt contest just for the benefit of her pervy eyeballs. Ripping her gaze away from the door he disappeared through, she set the table double time. The sooner they ate, the sooner she could get to her naughty plans for him tonight. DM had psyched herself up all day for spending another night with Bruiser, but she grew more and more nervous through dinner. Fooling around was one thing, but actually making love to him was huge. She was guaranteed not to be very good at it, and she definitely didn't want to disappoint her mate.
What's wrong? Bruiser asked from across the small two-seater table in his kitchen. You've been quiet the entire meal.
I went into town today.
His eyebrows shot up.
Good.
Brooke drove me, and we had a nice lunch together, and I picked up a few things Mason didn't pack for me,
and I picked up groceries so I could cook the only thing I knew how to, and even that didn't turn out very good. She was rambling. And I went to the doctor.
The confusion in his coffee-colored eyes turned to worry in an instant.
Are you okay?
Yes, I'm fine. Well, I got these.
She pulled the tiny pack of pills from her pocket. She'd gulped down the first one before she and Brooke even left the parking lot of the pharmacy. A slow, simmering grin spread across his face as he stared at the tiny packet.
Damn, woman. I thought something was actually wrong. Are you seducing me with contraceptives?
Well, I know you said you didn't want to be with me until I was on the pill and had condoms. I got those too, but I didn't know which ones to get, so I got a party pack of like 10 different kinds and, oh my gosh.
DM put her clammy palms against the heat in her cheeks to try and relieve what was probably an epic blush.
I'm sorry.
There is nothing in the world for you to apologize for, Dee. I'm really glad you took care of all that today. It was hard enough trying to resist you last night. Tonight would have been brutal.
For me too, she admitted softly. I like you.
Those last words slipped out unbidden, but she wouldn't take them back. She felt how she felt, and Bruiser should know he was cared for. He opened his mouth to say something, but a pounding knock sounded against the front door. Tegan stuck his head in before Bruiser could get a "come on in" past his lips.
Can I talk to you for a minute? The Alpha asked.
Oh, sure, DM said. I'll just go in the other room.
No. Tegan shut the door behind him and canted his head at her. I meant, can I talk to you?
Me?
Her voice came out a meek squeak, so she cleared her throat and asked again in a stronger voice.
Me. You want me to leave? Bruiser asked.
No,
DM rushed out at the same time Tegan said, yes. Bruiser froze, half standing from his chair.
Stay, then, the blazing, blue-eyed Alpha commanded.
Bruiser took his seat again, as Tegan pulled up a rocking chair that was sitting in the corner.
Brooke told me why your dad married you off.
Tegan jerked his head toward Bruiser.
Does he know?
Bruiser nodded as his lips pressed into a thin, angry line.
I do.
Tegan's attention swung back to DM.
I'm sorry for that. It's messed up. I wanted your permission to tell the others so they aren't left out of the loop on this one. I wouldn't bother normally because it's you and Bruiser's business how to handle all of this. But your dad is a beast, and I'm guessing he isn't going to take you shunning his traditions well. I get a bad feeling at my neck when I think about it, and I want my crew to know about any risks.
I understand, she murmured, dropping her gaze to the edge of the table.
Power crackled in the air and weighed heavy on her chest. Bruiser's building discomfort, mixed with an angry Tegan, had her wanting to shrink into the woodwork.
Can you tell them when I'm not around, though? It's all really embarrassing for me.
Of course. Whatever you want.
Tegan sighed and drummed his fingers against the table. When she snuck a glance at him, the corner of his mouth twitched.
You're one of our crew now, DM. Your battle is ours, and your worries are ours, too. You aren't alone. Not anymore.
DM shook her head, sickened by the thought of the Ash crew ever placing themselves in Father's path of destruction over her.
I'll handle my father, she promised, determined to keep her new friends safe from the danger she brought to their little paradise.
Not alone, Tegan said, voice stern with finality. Not alone, Bruiser agreed. Tone somber. Anyway,
Tegan knocked once on the table and stood.
Drew set up a slip and slide flip cup challenge, and we could use you two if you're busy.
What's that? DM asked.
Bruiser's earlier anger apparently forgotten. A wicked smile commandeered his face as he said,
You'll see. If you don't have a bathing suit, Brooke is a hoarder of them and has about 10 you can choose from to borrow.
Oh, I bought one today in town, DM said, growing excited. Beer and water and something about a flipping cup, and this sounded fun. Brooke said I'd probably need one for hillbilly hot tubs and tubing season, whatever that meant.
Good. I'll see you out there then.
Tegan stood and walked off,
but hesitated at the door.
DM, I didn't tell you yesterday.
Tell me what?
Welcome to the Ash Crew.
DM tried to smile, but it came out a pathetically emotional lip quiver.
Thank you,
she rasped through her closing throat.
Tegan nodded once and disappeared out of Bruiser's trailer, and her sense of belonging slid a little more comfortably over her shoulders.
DM had a mate and friends, and now she had an alpha.
Chapter 9.
Okay, I think I got it, but just in case I don't, can you explain the rules again?
DM asked Bruiser.
I got this, Drew said, shoving past her mate and latching his giant hand around hers.
You suck at explaining.
Hey, Bruiser huffed.
DM looked behind her sympathetically as Drew dragged her toward a long plastic table lined with cups of beer. He just confused the stuffing out of her, though, so Drew was right.
Stand here and practice, so you know what you're doing, because you're on my team, and my team wins. What are we?
Winners? Drew squinted his blue eyes and frowned.
Well, don't say it like a question, DM.
He lifted his voice louder.
What are we?
Winners!
Better. Now look, chug that. Do it. It'll loosen you up.
She did as she was told, and downed the cup of light beer.
Okay, now what?
Put your cup right side up on the edge of that table and knock it with your fingertips. Try to get it to flip upside down. Here, like this.
Drew gulped another cup down and showed her how to play flip cup. She tried a few times, or more accurately, a few dozen times, until she was comfortable with the motion.
Good. So when the person in front of you, me, flips my cup and throws my hand up like this, you slide down that tarp as fast as you can, then chug your beer, then flip it and signal the next person. Fastest team wins. Got it?
I've totally almost got it.
That's the spirit.
What will we win?
Bragging rights and more beer.
Right.
You ready?
I'm mostly ready.
Okay, line up, Drew yelled,
pulling her back past the giant blue tarp soaked in suds and water. The Ash Crew filed into two separate lines. The men wore swim trunks, and DM blinked hard at the sea of muscles, tattoos, and scars. Brooke and Hayden stood waiting by the table of beer to judge there was no cheating, because apparently cheating at slip-and-slide flip cup was a thing. Brooke wore a little yellow bikini and showed off her gorgeous baby belly proudly, stretch marks and all.
God, DM loved it here.
She'd seen half the crew at some point lean down close and talk to Brooke's unborn cub, as if he could hear them. The way the men treated the women here was impossible to feel self-conscious, especially when the other women were so confident with their revered place among these dominant grizzly shifters.
You are going down, Day,
Skylar called from the other line.
That's Keller to you, as soon as I fill out the paperwork.
Oh, geez, she sucked at trash talk. Drew shoved her into the third spot in line, right in front of Bruiser.
Is this where the weakest link goes? She joked.
No, Bruiser said, brushing his lips against the back of her neck.
This is where the badass dragons go.
Huh?
Dennison asked from the other line.
Nothing,
DM called with a grin. She pulled the strap on her bright green bikini top tighter and narrowed her eyes on the beer table. Brooke and Hayden held up their hands, and the former called out,
Ready? Steady? Go!
DM's hands shook from nerves as Brighton took the first turn for their team. What if she fell on her face and messed up, and everyone was mad at her for sucking at team sports? In her defense, dragons didn't exactly play well with others. Or at least the Day dragons didn't. She was pretty sure her half-brothers would lose for their team just to be assholes. That was the Day way. But she wasn't a Day anymore. And black bear blood ran through her veins from her mother's side, a fact she was growing prouder of by the day. And when Drew took a turn and flipped his cup and his hand shot up in the air, well, DM took off, determined to not be the weakest link in her team's chain. She fell stomach first onto the tarp and squinted against the flying water and bubbles to the raucous encouragement of her team behind her. They were chanting her name as she slid onto the grass and sprinted for the table. Drew murmured encouragement as she downed the beer and set her cup right side up. The first time, she missed, and the second time, too. But the third time was the charm, and she shot her hand in the air as Drew grabbed her shoulders and shook her like a rag doll as he whooped. Her bones were thoroughly rattled, but nothing could touch this feeling as she watched a proud grin stretch across Bruiser's face as he took off for the tarp. Skylar flipped her cup a moment later and raised her hand, and the race was on between Bruiser and Kellen. Bruiser's abs flexed with every powerful stride, and he slid onto the tarp without abandon. He and Kellen shot down it like two muscly rockets, then raced for the table. Their cups flipped on the first try, and at almost the same moment, they raised their hands. Everly was up for DM's team, and she cheered so loud for Brighton's mate. She was the nicest, sweetest person DM had ever met, and she wanted badly for Everly to be the one to shoot their team to victory. Everly flopped off the tarp and ran for the table, chugged her beer, and flipped the cup twice before Danielle reached the table for the other team. "Come on, Everly," DM cheered. "You can do it." She grasped Bruiser's hand and jumped up and down beside him. Everly flipped the cup, and it wobbled, but landed a split second before Danielle's did. The team erupted into a deafening victory cheer, clapping, ear-splitting whistles, and she and Everly were hugging and laughing and jumping around in a circle. Bruiser picked them both up in his meaty arms like they were no bigger than toys, and when he set them down, Brighton kissed his mate until she looked drunk. "Undefeated!" Drew yelled, pointing at Dennison. Dennison flipped him off and drank another plastic cup of beer. "Rematch." Drew's blonde eyebrows arched high, and he spread his hands out, palm up. "Bring it, Denny boy. My team is undefeatable. We're like a well-oiled machine." "Line up," Dennison called as he pointed to the start again. Worried, DM looked up at Bruiser. "This well-oiled machine has now had two beers in the last few minutes, and I'm feeling wobbly." "And that is the point of the game," Bruiser said, then leaned forward and kissed her until she was even more unstable on her feet. "That's not helping," she muttered as he laughed and pulled her toward the starting point again. "Are you having fun?" he asked, sliding his arm over her shoulders. Here at his side, she felt all glowy and safe. "Yeah," she answered him breathlessly. She really, really was. "That's also the point of the game." After three consecutive games of slip and slide flip cup, and after the sun had set over the Wyoming mountains that nestled the Ashland Mobile Park, DM settled in with the others around the bonfire and watched fireflies lazily floating about on the breeze along the tree line. In an attempt to sober up, she downed a giant glass of water.
"You like your marshmallows burnt to a crisp, don't you, Dee?"
Bruiser asked, mischief dancing in his eyes. She giggled and leaned back in the neon green plastic chair by the fire.
"You know I do." "Alligator,"
Dennison said half-heartedly around an entire s'more. He'd been tossing out guesses all night. "Nope." Brooke snickered from across the fire, and even Tegan was smiling.
"Man, Skylar already said she is a flyer," Bruiser said, shaking his head in disappointment. "Last time I checked, gators don't have wings. You suck at this."
"Do not.
And I've already guessed every flying shifter there is. Flying squirrel."
"Nope," DM said. She tried to tell him earlier just to put him out of his misery, but Tegan had cut her off and told her to let him guess. "There, there," Danielle crooned as she sank onto her mate's lap. She petted his head sympathetically and handed him another s'more. It was a sad day to be Dennison. Couldn't guess DM's shifter, even though she'd already told him what she was on the first day she'd met the Ash Crew. And then his team had lost three times in a row, a fact which Drew hadn't stopped crowing about for the past 2 hours.
"You look happy," Bruiser said, as he handed her the gooey snack he'd so carefully made for her.
"I am." Bruiser leaned close and whispered in her ear, "Happiness is sexy on you." Well, in that case, her voice came out much huskier than she meant for it to. "I'm ridiculously happy." She leveled him with a hint-filled stare. Her heart pounded as she watched a sensual smile curve his lips. "Ladies and gents," Bruiser said as she bit into her s'more, "my lady and I are done for the night." "Bow chicka wow wow," Drew called. Bruiser lifted her off the chair and tossed her over his shoulder like a sack of potatoes. He smacked her bikini-clad butt and called over his shoulder, "Shut up, Drew."
"If I shut up, then we'll all hear you boinking," Drew said with a frown.
"Plug your ears," DM joked around the full mouth of marshmallows and chocolate. Bruiser's booming laugh under her warmed her from her hairline to her toes. At his trailer, he set her down and picked her up like a babe and carried her across the threshold.
"You sobered up yet, woman?"
"Is that what you've been waiting for?"
"Hell yeah, it is. I want our first time to be a blurry memory for you."
"I'm mostly sober."
Shower first, then. I'll wash you up with that fruity body wash and hoity-toity squishy loofah sponge I found hanging in your shower this morning."
She snorted. "Don't hate on my bath essentials, Mr. Keller. I like to smell good."
"Well, I like the way you smell right now."
"I smell like dirt and beer," she argued, pointing to a mud stain across her abdomen to highlight her point.
"No," he said, sucking on her bottom lip. "You smell like s'mores and campfire smoke and piney earth."
"Oh, well, that actually sounded kind of nice with him saying it all low like that."
"And arousal," he added.
"That's embarrassing."
"Why?"
he asked against her lips as he reached into the front of her bikini bottoms. A slick sound filled the air as he pushed his finger slowly into her. "And anyways, that's your fault for walking around all night in your swim trunks that show off those creases of muscle over your hip bones, your 8-pack abs, sexy chest, and muscly arms. The arousal smell is unavoidable if you set out to seduce me like that." Bruiser's lips turned up in a smile against her neck as he kissed her.
"You think it's been easy for me?" he murmured against her skin. "Watching you in that sexy two-piece. The outline of those perfect tits right there for me to see. And all that creamy skin I can't get enough of. I've been rocking a boner since you came out of the trailer in that swimsuit, D."
"For me?"
"Of course for you. You're sexy as hell. You're beautiful, yeah, but it's more than that. Your personality makes me want you even more. Confidence sure looks good on you, woman."
DM slid her arms around his neck and tried to steady her shuddering breath. "I don't want to take a shower." Before she could talk herself out of her boldness, she leaned up on her toes and kissed him. And when he leaned into her to deepen that kiss, she brushed her tongue against the closed seam of his mouth. That soft growl she was growing to love rattled his chest, and she pulled her hand down across the warm, smooth skin to feel it against her palm. That small sound of satisfaction. She'd done that. He opened his lips and allowed her to brush her tongue against his. With a helpless sound deep in his throat, Bruiser lifted the backs of her knees until he was nestled between her thighs. Then he walked her backward toward his bedroom. Desperate to feel all of his skin against hers, DM untied the drawstring of his swim trunks and pushed them down his legs. Bruiser seemed just as thirsty for her skin when he tugged the string of her bikini, then plucked her bottoms off and tossed both pieces to the floor. For a moment, he seemed stunned, staring wide-eyed at her body. There wasn't much light in here, only the soft illumination from the kitchen. But her skin was pale and glowed like a bug light in the dark. She used to be self-conscious about it, but reflected in Bruiser's dark eyes, she looked quite different. Pretty, even.
"I don't know how I got so lucky," he murmured, settling over her.
And she understood. He'd made a deal for her hand in marriage, and by all accounts, this shouldn't have worked. They shouldn't have clicked like this. Father had made a mistake, giving her to the Ash crew for protection, because now she had a shot at living a happy life.
and there would be no more dragons. It seemed fate had slapped his hand for mistreating his kin.
"I'm the lucky one," she whispered.
Bruiser's eyes pooled with such adoration. She was filled with a warm, funny feeling from her middle outward. Her limbs tingled with it. Bruiser's smile faded, then returned slowly.
"Do you feel that?"
"What is it?" she asked on a breath.
"Our bond. Are you sure you choose me forever, DM? After this, we'll be bound, and there is no going back. This feels big."
Stretching up, she kissed him softly. With a happy sigh, she relaxed under him and said,
"I'm not scared. Not anymore.
I choose you for always." He reached for the end table drawer where she'd told him she'd stashed the condoms. The rip of foil sounded loud in the quiet of the room, but seconds later, his attention was back on her. He leaned forward and drew her nipple into his mouth, sucking gently until it was drawn up tight. Her skin was sensitive there, and she arched up to encourage the affection. His hand slid under the curve of her back and held her there. And by the time he paid her other breast equal attention, she was rolling her hips against his, just to feel him against her. Knees spread wide, she moaned and gripped his hair as he trailed kisses up her neck. He nibbled her earlobe and touched the slick opening of her sex with the thick head of his cock.
"Relax for me all the way, so I don't hurt you," he whispered,
and she made the conscious effort to do so. He rubbed his fingers down the inside of her leg while propped up on a locked arm. As he pushed into her, he held her gaze. Inch by inch, his long, thick shaft filled her. The stretch burned, but she kept her face neutral and waited for the pain to subside. She'd read books on sex, and a little burning pressure was to be expected, especially since her mate was large. It wasn't until he filled her completely and brushed her clit that it felt good.
"Really good."
He slid out of her slowly and pushed in again. When he touched that sensitive spot again, she dug her nails into his back. Bruiser clenched his jaw, and the muscles in his arms flexed and tightened, as if his control was slipping. DM forced herself to relax further, and he slid in easier, faster this time. She gasped at how good it felt and held on to him tighter.
"Right there," she panted.
"Fuck, woman, you're so sexy when you tell me what you like."
She leaned upward and kissed his earlobe. Softly, she whispered,
"Faster."
Bruiser's hips bucked against hers, and now the pleasure greatly outweighed any discomfort. She smiled and grazed her teeth against his neck.
"Harder."
He thrust into her again, this time slipping his arm under her hips and pulling her closer as he pushed into her. A quiet moan escaped her lips, and he captured the sound with his, kissing her as he filled her again. His tongue thrust against hers in rhythm to the penetration between her legs, and she was gone. Pressure building, sex tingling, rocked by utter pleasure. His control was no more as the muscles in his stomach flexed with every powerful thrust. The growling in his throat grew louder as she bowed against him and ran her nails down his back. He slammed into her faster and faster until the pressure was too much.
"Bruiser,"
she cried out as he clamped his teeth against her shoulder and slammed into her hard enough to move her backward on the bed. She detonated around him, crying out as the pleasure became blinding. She closed her eyes to the world as her mate froze inside of her, swelling as he growled out her name. Throbbing pulses ripped through her, but she was helpless to decipher between her orgasm and Bruiser's. He bucked into her sporadically as he swelled again, warming her from the inside out.
"Shit," he muttered, eyes intent on her shoulder. "You're bleeding."
Warmth trickled into the hollow at the base of her throat, and she turned her head and stared at the stinging bite mark he'd made.
"Will it scar?"
One could hope. "How fast do you heal?"
"Not as fast as you would."
"Then yeah, it'll scar. Fuck, I'm so sorry. I don't know why I did that."
Bruiser backed off her and pulled out, then ran his hands through his hair like he was pissed off at himself.
"I hurt you."
Frowning, DM said, "I'm not complaining. This is a claiming mark, right?" The other women here have them.
Did you want one? I should have asked you first.
DM sighed in relief and pulled him onto the bed. Rolling him over, she straddled his hips and tucked her arms under her breasts, then lay against his chest.
I secretly wanted one, but I didn't know how to ask. I know it's different if it's not a bear-bear pairing.
You aren't mad. You aren't hurt.
No, and not really. It just stings a little. But now I'll bear your mark for always. You claimed me.
Bruiser huffed a little relieved laugh and wrapped his arms around her back. For a long time, she stayed like that, safe and warm in her mate's arms. And he was her mate now, in all the ways he could be. They had a paper that bound them by human laws, and their animals had accepted each other. Now she had Bruiser's mark on her shoulder that said he chose her back. Nothing in the world could touch this feeling of elation.
Tell me about the picture.
She was drowsy but wasn't ready for sleep yet. Not when she wanted to enjoy every moment here tonight with the man she was falling in love with. Bruiser inhaled deeply and rubbed her back in a distracted sort of way, little circles here and there with his fingertips.
The Ash Crew is the family I created for myself, but that picture is a photograph of my blood family.
He made a ticking sound behind his teeth.
Kind of.
What does kind of mean?
I didn't meet them until I was 10. That photograph was taken a few months after Ma Keller found out about me.
DM frowned at the wall as she snuggled her cheek against his chest.
Explain. DM, this isn't something I enjoy talking about.
Tell me once and be done with it. And then you can ask me anything, too.
Shit, he said on a breath.
The massage circle stopped, and he hugged her real close. His hands shook against her back.
My dad stepped out on Ma Keller, who was his wife. They had four boys together, Gage, Cody, Boone, and Dade. My dad fucked up, cheated. Nah, it was more than that. He had an affair. Ma Keller had no idea. Dad was a firefighter and worked odd hours, and she didn't even suspect he was shacking up with my mom whenever he got the urge.
Bruiser got quiet and puffed air from his cheeks before he continued.
When I was born, well, you know how it works with dragon females better than I do. My mom didn't make it, and my dad had a newborn bastard kid he didn't know what to do with, so he hid me away. Hired a full-time nanny to live out in the boonies with me. She raised me, and I thought she was my mom for a long time. No one ever told me otherwise, and I had no idea about the scandal that surrounded my birth. Dad was always weird around me, distant. He said I looked just like my mother, and I think that hurt him. I don't know. I wanted to go to parades in town with him. Wanted him to take me to the movies and let me go to public school. But he said I couldn't because I was special. I wasn't fucking special, though. I was a blight on his name. His darkest secret. He died in a fire when I was 10. Or at least, I thought it was a fire that took him. There was some confusion around his death. Chemical burns to his neck, which didn't make sense at the time because he was still wearing his fire suit when his crew pulled him from the wreckage of this old blazing building. It had to be ISA. They detonated these trackers, filled with acid, in my brother Dade's neck when I went to help them last week. Same type of chemical burns. Anyway, my nanny had instructions on what to do if anything ever happened to my dad. So she dropped me off at the Keller's house with a single suitcase and an envelope that had Ma Keller's name on it in Dad's handwriting. That's when I found out I was the half-dragon bastard secret of the great and honorable Titus Keller. Or so his letter to Ma Keller said. Dad was a bit of a legend in Breckenridge, so when word got out around town, Ma Keller was shamed just as much as I was. She took me in, but she couldn't seem to get over my parentage. She kept me separate from her boys for a while. They all looked just like her, and I was living proof that her husband had led a secret life for a decade that didn't include her. I can't blame her, really. I understand why she never bonded with me.
but it was an uncomfortable home situation for the 8 years I lived with the Kellers. I grew up never fitting anywhere, watching this amazing, happy family going about their lives from the outside. I grew resentful, packed my bags the day I turned 18 and never looked back. Not until last week, when my older brother, Cody, called me, telling me the family was being pressed on by this asshole IES agent named Kruger. I knew the man, because he'd been after me for a while, too. But I think your dad had been keeping him at bay. I knew if Cody was desperate enough to call me, they were in trouble. Like, end of their entire crew trouble. And they had 3 cubs to protect.
You have nieces and nephews? She asked.
2 nephews and a niece. All tow-headed Keller stock through and through. Cute as shit. And I couldn't stop playing with them when I was there. But I sure was in a rush to get back here where I belonged. Being back in that town where everyone knew about where I'd come from just felt like it was going to suffocate me.
How did your brothers treat you when you were growing up with them?
Half-brothers. When they were upset at first. It's a lot for a kid to accept they have this brother they've never heard of, and that he's there because their father was a rat bastard of a man, and not the hero they'd always thought he was.
Do you ever talk to them on the phone or write letters?
They call from time to time. I think they want a relationship, but I'm not ready. Not after everything, and not after finding such easy relationships here.
But they're blood, Bruiser. Having a relationship with your half-brothers doesn't have anything to do with how much you love being a part of the Ash Crew. If they are reaching out to you, you owe it to yourself to respond. You are put into that family for a reason.
Yeah, what about you? He asked, his voice defensive. You think it's fair you were given to your dad? You can't choose family, DM. Not blood family.
Are they murderers? Are they terrible people?
A snarl of frustration rattled against her cheek. No. They do what they have to do to protect their crew, same as we do. But no, they aren't murderers. The Kellers are good to the bone. I just didn't fit in with them.
But you're the one still hurting after all this time. You keep that picture of them in your bedroom because you feel some connection with them. But you keep them at arm's length. You don't have to, Bruiser. You can't ever heal from what was done unless you accept who you are. And like it or not, dark-headed or not, same mother or not, you're a Keller, same as them.
Now I've said my piece, but know this. If my father or half-brothers ever tried for a relationship with me the way your half-brothers have tried, I'd be happy just to have them care.
Bruiser rolled her over and made her into a little spoon against his chest.
He had to come in here and be all logical and make me feel like a complete douchewagon, didn't you?
You are definitely not a douchewagon, lover. Just hurt and stubborn about bundling that pain and keeping it inside of you when you don't have to.
Okay, he conceded, kissing the back of her hair. I hear you.
She smiled at the shadows against the wall, limbs all tangled up until they were one big, indiscernible lump. Now your turn. What do you want to ask me?
That's easy. When are you going to let me see your dragon?
She chuckled and snuggled her back even closer to him. With a happy sigh, she said, whenever you want. If you've seen my father's dragon, though, I can assure you, you'll be utterly disappointed with mine.
Chapter 10
Bruiser couldn't sleep, not after the conversation with DM about his family. She saw things differently, and for as bad as he'd thought he'd had it growing up, Ma Keller had taken him in when she didn't have to. Must have been hard on her to feed the boy that meant her mate hadn't loved her like she thought. To tuck him in, read him stories, and raise him alongside the sons she'd had with the man she was mourning the death of. And connecting with Gage, Cody, Boone, and Dade had been difficult. But hell, they'd never sold him off in an arranged marriage, knowing he would die having a baby. DM's family was 4 shades of fucked up. And if she thought he should think twice about throwing away a relationship with the Kellers, well, maybe she was right.
As carefully as he could, he lifted her head off his arm and slipped out of bed. Barefoot and dressed in his swim trunks, he checked that he had enough battery life on his cell phone and let himself out the front door as quietly as he could manage, which was actually ridiculously noisy because he was a damned house-sized grizzly who wasn't known for his light-footedness. Plus, he lived in a 35-year-old single-wide with creaks under every floorboard. He waited outside for a few minutes to see if DM stirred, but the house remained quiet. Everyone had gone to bed, and even the outside light strands had been turned off. It had to be 3 in the morning, and hell, he knew he would pay for this in the morning. But he couldn't sleep until he called Cody. Cody was the leader of the Breck crew. He and Dade had tried the hardest to include him when he'd lived with them. It had been Cody who had asked him to come back and visit soon when he'd left Colorado a few days ago. He told him okay, but they could both hear the lie in his voice. Bruiser climbed up the trail toward the clearing on the mountain with the best view and the best cell phone reception. It was windy tonight and smelled like rain. The clouds covered most of the stars, but he still loved the landscape out here. Dark blue, churning sky, casting blue light across the mountains of evergreen forest. With a steadying breath, he hit the speed dial for his oldest half-brother and waited through 2 rings. Cody picked up on the 3rd. Bruiser, are you all right? What's happened?
Nothing, man.
Who is it? Cody's mate Rory asked in a sleepy voice.
It's Bruiser, baby. Go back to sleep. I'm going to take this outside.
I'm sorry, man. I shouldn't have called so late.
Hang on, his half-brother whispered. The click of a door sounded, and Bruiser imagined Cody standing on the front porch, looking at a mountainscape much like this one, just a couple states away.
Ah, stop apologizing. I'm glad you called. I've been wondering what happened with you and Damon Day's daughter.
Bruiser smiled and leaned up against a giant pine tree.
I'm a married man now. I claimed her tonight.
You marked her and everything? Cody asked, voice low and serious.
Yeah, she ended up being amazing. I lucked out, well, oh, damn.
Cody gave off a knowing chuckle.
You love her, don't you?
Yeah, doesn't make any sense. I know it doesn't. That doesn't stop my feelings.
God, I sound like such a dipshit saying that out loud.
Nah, maybe to Dade and Boone. But I'm newly mated too, remember?
Yeah. How are Rory and Aaron?
Aaron was Cody's son he only recently found out he had.
They're amazing.
Cody's voice was filled with a smile.
Aaron is all signed up to do the shifter preschool in the fall with Gage's kids. He keeps asking me every 5 minutes when school is going to start. He's already driving Rory up the wall talking about bear school.
Bruiser huffed a laugh, imagining it. Silence filled the line, and it was now or never.
Cody, the reason I called is that I wanted to say sorry about not talking to you more since I left. You and Dade and Ma and everyone. I know I just dropped off the face of the planet. And now I think maybe that wasn't fair of me.
Stop, Cody drawled. That isn't your fault. I know it was hard for you to be raised with us, and getting out of Breckenridge must have been a great relief. We miss you all, and we regret things hadn't been different.
Bruiser blinked rapidly, because he obviously had some sort of pollen in both eyes. I just didn't know how to be a part of your family.
Which was Dad's fault.
Yeah, for having me behind your ma's back.
Nah, that's bullshit. He messed up worse than that. He hid you from your family for a decade, then left it up to all of us to try and piece together this family he'd blasted apart. The man I remember was a good man, good father. But he was also a stick of dynamite with the shit he pulled. His death lit a long fuse, but none of that was on you. If anything, it was more on us for floundering with your existence for too long. It was like we just couldn't accept that he'd do something like that. But you were there. Proof he'd hurt Ma. I can't take back the way things were. I wish I could, because it's something I deeply regret. You should have felt a part of us. Hell, you should be part of the Breck crew right now.
We should have tried harder to help you fit in with us.
Now you stop. You were kids, and Ma had just lost her husband and found out he cheated on her in the same week. It is what it is. I just wanted to say sorry for my part.
Ma has a photo album of you, Cody blurted out. I saw it the other day. She has one for each of us, and I caught her crying over yours when you left Colorado. I know it probably doesn't seem like Ma bonded to you when you lived with us, but she did. She just didn't know how to show it to you.
Bruiser wiped his blurry eyes with the back of his hand before the damned tears could escape.
Fuck.
He had to wait a minute before he could speak again, so his voice wouldn't crack with emotion.
I used to wish she was my Ma. I know I'm not blood related to her, but I saw how she was with you boys, and I wanted that so bad, too.
I'm sorry, Cody sounded as choked up as he did. I can't begin to explain why she treated you different. I think you should call her sometime, though, because I know her regret with you runs bone deep. She can't say your name without tearing up, Bruiser. I'm gonna beg you again. Please come back. Visit more. I know I already asked, but in case you don't pick up my calls again. I'm not asking you to leave the Ash Crew and join ours. I just want a chance to get to know you again. You saved our family, man. I mean, you didn't have a stake in our battle with IESA, and you dropped everything and made a deal with Damon Day that could have ruined your life. And you did it to save us. You think you're different? But the way I see it, you're the best one of us.
Bruiser scrubbed his hand over his face and leaned his head back against the rough bark of the tree behind him.
Okay, man. I will.
And this time his words rang with honesty, because he knew he would go see his family again and try to repair the deep cracks in their foundation.
You mind if I bring my mate when I do? I want you all to meet her.
Cody huffed a laugh.
Yeah, brother. I'd be disappointed if I didn't get to meet the woman who tamed you.
Bruiser sat there for a long time after he and Cody had hung up. Already, the ball of pain he kept well fed inside of him had become lighter and smaller. He smiled and shook his head as he stared at the dark screen of his phone. Diem had come in here and shaken everything up. She'd pushed him to man up in ways he'd been lacking. And that's how he knew she was a keeper. She made him want to be a better man. The type of man a woman like her deserved.
Chapter 11 Diem bounced on the bench seat of Bruiser's truck, over the crunchy, shell-riddled, scrambled egg breakfast she'd made this morning. He joked that it was, "Bring your mate to work day." Diem didn't care what he called it, as long as she didn't have to spend the entire day at the trailer park away from him. After last night, and his admission about calling his half-brother this morning over breakfast, she didn't want to be away from him for a single minute, much less an entire day. Plus, she'd always run the number side of this business, and she was finally getting an up-close and personal look at what the Ash Crew, the Borlanders, and the Greybacks really did. And she had her very own, sexy-as-all-get-out tour guide to show her the ropes, or rather, the skyline and cables, as the lumberjacks called them. Bruiser had already explained the theory of lumberjacking over breakfast. He told her about the machinery, the beetle infestation wiping out the trees, hauling schedules, who ran the processor and cables, as well as the role the Borlander crew of cutters played. But still, seeing the things her mate had described would be much different than trying to imagine it all. Bruiser pulled to a stop beside Kellen's truck and settled a yellow hard hat on her head. It was cute that he worried about her. He leaned forward and kissed her, and they giggled when they knocked hats with a thunk. Bruiser licked his lips in a decidedly delicious manner, then leaned her hat back and leaned in again, taking his time to pluck at her lips with sexy little smacking sounds. "I like you," he whispered. But she knew what he meant. Bruiser was falling for her just as hard as she was falling for him. She could tell, because he was so open and honest with her. She could tell by the way he looked at her that she was precious to him. Leaning forward, she whispered against his ear, "I love you too." Bruiser's face went comically blank as she slid from the truck. She wished she had a camera to take his picture right now. A smile as slow as molasses took his face as she rounded the front of the truck, grinning like an idiot at him through the front window. "Hey," he said, jogging after her as she followed the rest of the crew toward the processor. "I was going to say that first."
"Too slow, Keller."
"I wasn't slow, Dee. I was just working my way up to it, when I was sure you'd feel it back."
"Now you know," she said cheekily.
Bruiser grabbed her ass and bit her ear gently before he jogged on up ahead. His eyes twinkled with happiness when he looked back over his shoulder at her. DM's belly dipped and warmed under his adoring gaze, and she giggled and looked at the ground as heat flushed her cheeks. The ash crew went to work, brightened on the processor that stripped trees and cut the ends evenly so Everly could load them onto a truck for the log buyer. Kellen worked the main machinery that controlled the cables that dragged logs up the steep mountainside, three at a time. Tegan oversaw the landing, while he and Dennison cut loops of cable with a saw that cut through metal. The rest of the crew worked down the hill, attaching the skyline cables to logs and scrambling out of the way before Kellen dragged them up toward the processor. It looked like grueling, dangerous work, but the crew was careful and worked well together. It wasn't an hour into the workday, and they were all sweating through their t-shirts and chugging water. Even though heavy, dark rain clouds blocked the sun, the job was physically demanding enough that they were all drenched, despite the cooler day. A niggling disappointment took DM as she watched them from the landing. They seemed to have enough workers here, and no positions were lacking. She'd hoped to find some kind of work to occupy her days, but she simply wasn't needed. She wasn't needed. DM frowned.
"What are you pouting about?"
Tegan asked, chin lifted high and exposing a long dirt smear down his jawline.
"I don't pout," she said primly. "I was just thinking that I'm going to have to find a job in town."
"That's quite a commute."
"Yeah, but I can't just sit around the trailer park waiting for Bruiser to come home every day. I'd feel stagnant."
"A hard worker. I respect that."
Tegan rested his hands on his hips and watched his crew shove loops of cable around a large felled tree.
"Your dad won't let you work for him anymore?"
"No. Likely, I'll have one of my half-brothers take over my work."
In father's eyes, their life expectancy was much longer than hers. Tegan jerked his head behind him, and the hairs rose on her arms as Brighton cut the engine of the processor and turned in the same direction with narrowed eyes. Bear shifter hearing was much better than Dragon's.
"What is it?" she asked as dread slammed into her gut.
"Sounds like that fancy car the boar shifter drives your dad around in."
"Shit."
Tegan pursed his lips and arched his eyebrows.
"Indeed.
I'll handle my father. From the look on your face, you don't think your dad is here to just do some friendly job site overseeing, do you?"
She shook her head miserably and made her way toward the mouth of the thin mountain road. She could hear the car now, too, and it definitely lacked the throaty sound of one of the work trucks. Stomach souring, DM clenched and unclenched her hands in an effort to stop them from shaking. Living in Ashland with her friends and mate had been a vacation away from the reality of her situation. The continuation of her species rested solely on her shoulders, and now she had to find a way to tell father she was bowing out of the breeding game. This was going to suck. She'd grown used to smiling, laughing, frowning, showing any emotion on her face over the past couple of days, and with great effort, she smoothed her features the way father had taught her. The dark car pulled up and came to a silent stop right in front of her. She stared passively at the heavily tinted window and clamped her sweating hands behind her back. Mason turned off the engine and stepped out from behind the wheel. With a nodded greeting for her, he opened father's door and waited, faces stoic, as she hoped hers was. A trickle of sweat ran between her breasts, and DM fought the urge to wipe it with her t-shirt.
"What are you wearing, daughter?"
Father's formal words floated to her on the breeze as he stepped out of the car and made a show of lifting his chin to look down at her. Void of any intelligent response, she looked dumbly down at her shirt and jeans that were now threadbare at the knees, from a game of charades she played with the crew the other night. She'd pantomimed an elephant in the dirt and hadn't washed them since. Her sneakers used to be gray with purple trim, but now they were the color of the rich dirt on the landing, and mud was squished out the sides of her heel. A T-shirt I borrowed from Brooke. Brooke is Tegan's mate. Hopefully, he wouldn't read the label across her chest, which was the logo of some small-town beer brewery Brooke had visited once. Father's nose twitched. I suppose to fit in, you must act like the people I've given you to. DM narrowed her eyes and regretted not bringing sunglasses to shield her dilating pupils. Speaking of, I think we should discuss that. You didn't give me to anyone. Bruiser and I chose to follow through with the deal you made, but it was my decision. Father snorted indelicately, and DM clenched her hands harder behind her back to resist the urge to clutch air and pretend strangle him. You know why I'm here, so let's get straight to the point.
Right. I'm very happy, and I've found a good match. For the first time in my life, I feel like I can breathe. I'm having fun and fitting in with the Ash crew. That's what you wanted to know, right? About the happiness of your only daughter?
Father's face was frozen like a statue in that bored expression of his. Don't trifle with me, child. Have you consummated your marriage?
Father, I don't think that is any of your business.
DM. A crack of power rocketed from Father and washed across her skin, covering her in a chill. A shrill whistle sounded from behind her, and the rumbling engine on Kellen's machine cut to nothing. When she turned, Tegan was approaching with steady strides, flanked by the rest of the Ash crew. Drew and Dennison tossed their hard hats beside the processor, and Brighton cracked his knuckles loudly. It was Bruiser's furious gaze that held her, though. His eyes blazed gold, and all around her wafted the scent of fur.
I think you should leave.
DM turned to her father and leveled him an empty gaze.
I have consummated my marriage, but we have chosen not to have children. My husband values my life over the need to procreate to make you proud of me.
You can't just make that decision without considering the consequences for me and for your kind. Father's words came out low, and a soft hissing sound emanated from his throat.
I can, and I did. My fucking body, my fucking choice.
No, it's not your choice. You're my daughter, mine. You have a duty to me and to your people. Make the sacrifice and die honorably to continue our race.
Father curled forward, his eyes melting to a steely silver color as his pupils elongated.
You'll bear a child and be grateful for the honor.
His face was a mask of red as he snapped backward. Get back, she cried as the sound of clanking armor-like scales sounded.
Father morphed and grew, his face turning monstrous as his teeth formed white daggers. Long whiskers trailed down his face as his body grew longer. Sharp claws clutched mounds of earth, digging craters into the landing, as a bellowing, ear-shattering roar burst forth from his long, scaly neck. He shone in the dim light, blue and pearlescent white, a perfect specimen of what a warrior dragon should look like. The dragon rose high above her, eyes wild and furious.
No!
Bruiser yelled from behind her. Horror filled her chest as she looked back to see a giant, dark-furred grizzly rip out of the man she loved. He charged, and behind him, the Ash crew exploded into raging, roaring bears. Bruiser skidded to a stop in front of her, then shoved her backward step by step with his massive weight.
Stop! He'll kill you! She screamed. No, 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 this couldn't happen now. Father didn't have his complete mind when he was a dragon.
The earth shook as Father approached, eyes emotionless, like an apex predator focused on the hunt. More bears circled her, hiding her, snarling and pacing as she was herded backward. The Ash crew was trying to save her, but what they didn't know was going to get them killed.
Father, please, she pleaded. It's Tegan and Kellen, Dennison and Brighton. You've looked after the Ash crew for years. They help you protect your treasure.
Bruiser grunted and looked back at her, confusion swimming in the gold depths of his feral eyes. A clicking noise echoed from above, sparks igniting in the gases that dwell deep in Father.